not the Doctor.
It's Clobberator.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Kawabunga.
Welcome, inmates, to Heroes Asylum, issue 32. Oh my goodness, what a weekend, what a weekend. We are surviving and recovering from D23 this weekend. So we're going to, Kane is over there making all sorts of racket.
Ah, man, what a busy, busy weekend. Damn.
Yeah, it was.
Lots of stuff came down.
Yeah, it was a lot of goodies. I know I had a fun weekend. I got a chance to go out to Kissimmee, if anybody's familiar with the Orlando area. I went over to Kissimmee for their toy and our Infinity Con. Actually got a chance to meet our artist for Heroes Asylum. I want to do a shout out to Carlos.
Finally got a chance to meet him,
shake his hand. Actually got a couple of his prints. Really good guy. Make sure you guys check him out. He is actually a member on our Instagram and Twitter page now. So definitely check out some of his stuff. But it was real cool to get out there and take a look at what was going on. It was a cool little con. Nothing fancy. You know, I think you had the Nasty Boys out there and Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson.
Yeah. Rock's dad was out there. And a couple of local artists. I can never remember the gentleman's name, but for Stabby Bunny. If anybody want something fun to check out, definitely check out Stabby.
Yeah, check out Stabby. Check out Carlos' stuff. Good.
Carlos as well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, real nice gentleman to meet him. And going to be sending some business his way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But what we're gonna do today? We definitely are gonna focus primarily on D23. But I'm gonna do a quick little small admissions ward and get that started, and then we're going to jump into D23. I took care of Star Wars. Kane's going to cover the Marvel news, so of course we're going to interact like we always do, like our talk about the madness that we think is coming down the pike. So
I'll say there is definitely some stuff that's coming on both sides.
Tons of stuff. So, but we're gonna go ahead and jump right into the admissions ward.
News from the admissions ward.
So like I said, folks, it's a quick admissions ward. Nothing too crazy. I'm sure everybody that's been all over the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we have all seen the goings-on between good old Sony and Disney about the rights to Spider-Man. And it looks as though, as of today, quotes directly from Kevin Feige and Tom Holland have both said that, yeah, the talks have stalled out. They're happy with what they've done. Kevin has made comments of not saying goodbye to Spider-Man, but not going to be using him for right now for the next phase, which is, to me personally, I'm fine with that because they have so much coming out the next phase, not just the movies in the MCU, but you're talking about the TV series and a lot of new people to introduce. And, fingers crossed, we might actually finally get a chance to see that Venom Spider-Man movie we want to see, especially if from what they handed in Venom, bringing in Carnage, I think that would be great to see. So, so what do you got on that one? What's your opinion? Your thoughts?
I'm gonna kind of agree with you. I think he kind of finished out his run. There's the story's kind of it's kind of over with him. It was basically that kind of father son relationship with him and Tony. Tony's gone. I mean, people say, you saw the post-credit scenes in the last Spider-Man movie. Where is that leading? Yeah, but that could easily be done in Sony. So, I mean,
yeah, that wasn't. I don't think that was really big on more MCU.
Yeah,
world. That was all Sony world or Spider world.
I mean, does it suck? Sure, it sucks. But it's just you got to move on from that. They, like you just said, everything and that Marvel has coming up is just like tons of stuff, and Spidey's just not in the plans right now. So. Does it suck? Yeah. I mean, but I think eventually cooler sides will prevail. Maybe down the road we'll see Tom return to the MCU as an older Spider-Man, which will probably be my guess right now. See him in college or,
I mean, he said he's not going anywhere. He's continuing Spider-Man. I was laughing so much when everybody's like, oh, they're going to reboot again. No, the kid's still there. Tom's not going anywhere just because Disney doesn't want to work with Sony or vice versa. He's still there. The stories are still there. There's no reason to restart. You know, as far as I think Marvel's going to do, I think you and I were talking about this last night. It was like, my opinion is Marvel's just going to move on and just not mention him. Just move on. Talk maybe the kid in New York's doing okay. Maybe that's the only thing they're going to drop. And that's about it. Yeah, I think the toughest part will be Spider-Man trying not to reference Tony Stark. That's going to be the big one.
That'll be like, hey, what about that one dude? Remember him in the suit? Oh, yeah. What's his name? Yeah. That'll be a little bit difficult. But, you know, from what I've read, like if you read, I don't know if you read the other articles. Chances are, the Sony deal along with Disney. I guess Sony wanted to keep the same deal. Disney wanted a little bit more of the cash. So,
like the good mouse, they wanted more cheddar.
They wanted more cheddar, yeah. So, the rich get richer. So, if I'm Sony, I'm not taking that deal either. So, they have their own things they're working out right now. They're doing all their Sony Spider-Man stuff. It's actually a win-win for both sides. So, Sony gets Spider-Man back. He's going to be in Venom, probably. He's probably going to be in Carnage. He's probably going to be in,
We get to see them build a world from their side. I think they started off with a great base. They start off with Kevin, building that world for him. So,
yeah, it's a good solid foundation. Just take what he did and just kind of run with it, and you get another producer, and then go from there.
I think the biggest one I think I would miss personally is him and Happy, that relationship that was growing there. That's the one thing I think I will miss going forward.
Yeah, that's gonna suck, but they'll find somebody else. Like I said, he's growing up now. They're moving away from the Peter in high school, and he's going slowly into college. So, who knows? So,
yep, very good. So yeah, let's we'll see what goes on. And again, Kevin, one of the things I do, Kevin made a comment. He's like, they knew this was coming eventually. It was always Sony's property on loan. So, next one is news from the DC world from James Gunn, director directing the new Suicide Squad sequel. They have brought in Steve Agee, I believe is how you pronounce his name, to come in and voice King Shark, and they've been hinting about doing something with King Shark for weeks now. He played Geff in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, also, directed by James Gunn as well. And they also just announced today, a few hours ago, Nathan Fillion will be jumping into Suicide Squad, unnamed role as of yet. I think that'll be fun as well.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I could actually see him voicing King Shark.
Well, they already announced Steve Agee will definitely do
King Shark. Oh, Steve Agee's going to do it? Yeah, okay, I thought he was going to do like a mocap or something. I didn't know if he was actually the voice.
They already said he's in there for King Shark, but Nathan Fillion, don't know what he's in there for. He's done other things with James before. He's done voiceovers. So maybe there's another character they might be using, but there's pretty tight-lipped on that movie right now.
There's tons of characters that he could use. He could probably be like on a walk along, like in Black Gate Prison. Like they had him in Guardians. He was that one gigantic alien, and people don't know that. At the beginning when they're going into the, I think it's the Killing, the jail they're going in. He's that giant CGI character that Star-Lord first meets. So, he might be doing something like that, or he could actually be, a full-on character. Who knows?
I'm a fan of Nathan, so I'll put him in, and I'd be happy with that, especially throwing him into the DC world. He's already a big member to begin with. He played Green Lantern for how many of the animated movies that they had?
Yeah, wow. Didn't he do some of the voice work on the series, too? I could be wrong.
I don't know about the series, but I know with, he was always my favorite voiceover for Green Lantern. I thought there was always something about him, just his attitude, and it was what I always thought Hal Jordan would be like,
especially his interactions with Batman. I thought that was kind of funny.
yeah
but like you said, anything with Fillion, you always plus it up, so good to have him in the DC world. So let's see what
always
happens.
always good And now we have some sad news, and I do know this is probably only a temporary one, but we still want to, acknowledge it. In DC Comics, they have done the unthinkable. They have killed off a character almost as old as Batman himself, Alfred Pennyworth. He debuted, not with Batman, but in about 16, Batman number 16 was when he debuted. Basically, he was, Bruce and Batman's moral compass through his career. He was killed off by Bane. Another one of Bane's attempts to break the bat for Batman number 77 in the, City of Bane story arc. So,
yep.
And we all know the rules, so nobody stays dead except for Uncle Ben. So sure we will see him again.
Yeah, it's a different continuity, what they're going on with City of Bane. If anything, it's basically Thomas Wayne who basically killed Alfred. He was the one that basically ratted out. I mean, Bane just did the work, but Thomas was the one who was like basically pulling the strings. I haven't read the whole entire arc so far, but it sounds interesting. I mean,
when I was doing my research on this, I thought about it. I really need to read that arc because it's starting to sound better and better.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it started to take place after the Batman Catwoman wedding, and then it just picked up from there. So I gotta start checking those back issues, see how it started. And
luckily, it's only three right now. So
is it three?
It's only three, and I think that's all it's going to be. That story arc was only about three episodes, but it was interesting doing the research for this. That I found out this wasn't the first time Alfred's been dead. Apparently, back in 1964, they had to kill him off. If you guys remember, I know I always pick on Kane about this one, but if anybody is familiar with your comic book history, Frederick Wortham was a author for a book, and he wrote the book Seduction of the Innocent. If anybody's familiar with that, that was basically him looking at the comic books back in the 50s, because he wrote this book in 1954 about how it was corrupting the youth. You know, he did a research where he asked, you know, 20 juvenile delinquents, you know, what do you do? What's your interest? This and this. And they all had comic books as an interest. So he automatically assumes, you know, comic books are bad doing this. And then he started picking on Batman for the homoerotic undertones. And again, I do have my fun picking on Kane about that. But I think it's a joke.
We all know that him with a boy wonder hanging out with a kid that's 11 years old. Yep. Yes.
They decided to do at one point, they decided to add in Batgirl. Batwoman. Actually, they started with Batwoman, then they added Batgirl, who was Batwoman's niece, to kind of give the, you know, more girl flair in there. But that still didn't seem to work. So what they decided to do was get rid of Alfred, killed him off by a boulder falling on him as he was trying to protect Batman and Robin. And then the substitute was Aunt Harriet came in. Aunt Harriet was Dick's aunt. Now, don't ask me why Dick then couldn't go live with Aunt Harriet instead of being adopted by a billionaire playboy. That's not my place to ask or question that, but still,
Wasn't it Aunt Harriet in the 60s?
She ended up in the TV series. The main reason actually is funny that you mentioned the TV series. The TV series is the main reason they eventually brought Alfred back to the comic books, because he was such an integral part of the series. They're like, man, we need to bring him back into the comic books. And then they just got rid of, you know, the whole everybody kind of chilled out about the homoerotic, you know, undertones of Batman. But I just thought that was kind of funny that they all kind of turned around. Like I said, I do have a tendency picking on Kane here about that. So
it's kind of interesting too, because recently Mattel releases these DC Multiverse figures, which I sell. Maybe we'll do a spot on in the future. But they recently released their first Alfred action figure, and he comes with these three different heads that you can change. He comes with the one from the animated series. He comes with the Michael Goh head from the 89 Batman. And he comes with the head from the 60s series. From the original,
really?
Yeah, that's what I was like. Oh, okay, so it's
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is kind of cool. That's why it kind of ties it all together with Alfred. So I was like, oh, that might have to be one I have to pick up in the future and check it out. Put it on display. So,
do they make one of the chubby Alfred that when he
started? No, one that he looks like like Twitch. No, if you ever read the Spawn comics, there's like Sam and Twitch. There's these. There's a big fat cop who looks kind of like Harvey Bullock, and there's like a skinny cop who looks like James Gordon. So it's just that's when I kind of think of like the big fat guys. You know, that's basically how Alfred, the old style Alfred, used to look like. He used to have like an ugly little Benny Hill hat too, if I recall. So maybe killing him with a boulder was not such a bad idea.
Nope, no, it wasn't. And then actually to end the admissions ward, we're going to end it with a few anniversaries. For anybody that may want to know, but in August back 1989, Tim Drake, Robin, debuted. So 30 years ago was the introduction of Robin. He was introduced. It was his first introduction. It wasn't when he became Robin, but just Tim Drake himself was first introduced. And nobody knows Tim was the Robin that followed Jason Todd, and the way he got into working with Batman was he was smart enough to figure who he was.
Yeah, that's one of the cooler storylines they did. Yeah.
After Dick Grayson went away, he became my favorite Robin because of just how he was. He was the true detective of them. You know, he did it on his own. He wasn't raised to be that way. He wasn't raised by Batman. He just smart kid.
Yeah, he just sort of just like figured it out. I think the arc was he walked into Wayne Manor. And he's like, hey, I know who you guys are. You know, he just put the pieces together, which is kind of interesting. So yeah. I'm like, okay, mate. And I think eventually some story runs, he becomes Batman in the future.
There are a couple that hint to that. Yes, some alternative future ones where he does. And then if you take into consideration the Batman Beyond series, he was the main antagonist, sort of, for the Return of the Joker.
Ah, yeah, that's right. He was somehow the Joker had put his consciousness inside of an older Tim Drake.
The Joker Venom or whatever, somehow. Planted the seed of that, which I thought it was kind of like a throwback. It was really a weird throwback to me when they did that on Batman Beyond. I was like, wow, where's Tim Drake? Okay, that's kind of cool.
I just like there's actually a story where Terry McGinnis walks into the older Commissioner Gordon. I believe it's Barbara Gordon's office, and she starts telling him the story of, like, you know, basically the last outing of them going out together.
Yep.
What happened to Tim and how basically the rivalry with the Joker ended and thinking he was dead. It's actually one of the better stories they did in Batman Beyond. I always like when they go to the flashbacks and show what happened with Bruce, why he did what he did, and going from there. So it's interesting, but you know, that's kind of like my foray into Tim Drake, you know. Very good, very good.
Yep. And then the last one will be the original Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett, debuted in Mystery Men Comics 1939. So 80 years old for the original Blue Beetle, and hopefully,
hey.
Not the coolest Beetle of them all, but still, you know, we have to start somewhere, and we just wanted to honor him. So, folks, that is the admissions ward.
Very nice.
So, yeah, like I said, we're going to do that one quick because I am stoked and ready to go.
Oh, boy.
I guess you want to go ahead and roll out the Marvel side?
Yeah, I think I'll roll out the Marvel. Like,
keep it how it was dropped because it did start with Marvel mostly.
No, Star Wars came first, but I'll go first. Yeah,
I'll go first.
So, basically, I'm going to start off basically like how they do their Marvel presentations, you know, the man with the baseball cap, Kevin Feige, walks on stage. Hey, Kevin. And he's basically going to start introing the new stuff. And what is the intro? First, it's going to be happening 2022. We're getting Black Panther 2, Mike. We're getting Black Panther number 2. Ryan Coogler is returning to direct. Not too much of the plot details was laid out. Chadwick Boseman is coming back. We know that for sure. So we get Black Panther 2, which is basically a no-duh. I mean, the only Oscar-nominated movie in Marvel's pantheon. So it's, hey, I'm just basically, you know, it's a no-brainer. We knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time when. So now we know it's going to be November 2022, Black Panther. No, actually, it's May 6th, 2022. So Black Panther's coming back, Mike. What do you think?
Cool. I was excited. I mean, we already, like you were saying, we already knew. We had heard the announcements already. We just didn't have a date to tie into it. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the movie. I thought it was great. I'm curious to see which direction they take now.
There's been a lot of rumors of where they're going to go. I heard maybe Michael B. Jordan's going to come back, which I hope not. You know, I kind of think that story kind of like ended his arc,
Killmonger killed them all. He had his moment. That was good.
And before Thanos, he was the best Marvel villain, I thought. And then Thanos came along and just took that title. So he had his arc. I mean, people have been talking about Namor, which would be kind of cool too. But you know, Namor's tied up in a lot of rights issues, I believe, with Universal and some other things. So.
I love the fanboys out there were all like, well, they mentioned Namor in Endgame. So I'm like, no, they didn't. They just mentioned the earthquake in the ocean. That you went there. No, they didn't go there. That's all on you.
That's one of the things about our community that I love and despise. They always jump to conclusions. Like any like little thing could be, oh, but it's this guy. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know that they didn't say his name. It just said earthquake underwater. I mean, that could have been just an earthquake underwater. water. Yep. So just take it for what it is.
Sometimes an earthquake's just an earthquake.
That's it. Just an earthquake. It's basically like Okoye said. How do you handle the earthquake underwater? You handle the earthquake underwater by doing nothing. It's just move on from that. But anyway, yep. Black Panther 2, 2022, and I can't wait. So after that, Kevin Feige, he ushered out Coogler. See you next time. I guess they're going to start pre-production pretty soon on that. And the next thing that he welcomed on stage was the cast of The Eternals. Yes, The Eternals came on stage. Selma Hayek, Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Brian Tyree Henry, Leah McHugh, Kumani Anjani, Lauren Ridoff, Don Lee, and we have Barry Keoghan and Gemma Chan. And we also got somebody else. Kit Harington is also going to be in The Eternals. He's going to be playing very deep cup, the Black Knight, I was okay. But they came on stage. They saw basically some concept art of the characters, which actually looked kind of cool. So this is a property that I'm really not too familiar with. So
don't think a lot of people are, and I think that's a good thing for us as sweaties and fans, that we're not gonna be, hey, well, it's not the way it went. We don't know really what direction they're gonna go. That's why I think it's a good, healthy thing to bring in some of these C level and B level characters and bring them in so that it's a little bit fresher. And I'm surprised. I was surprised that they had Kit in there so quickly, because literally Thursday is when it dropped that he was cast. And I was surprised when I saw him up there.
Well, he goes from Jon Snow to the Black Knight, so not too far fetched for him. So, he's got to put a helmet on. Still has a sword, so he's going to go from there. I think the big thing with the Eternals, I think that we've always talked about, is they're going to introduce that big, deep, sweaty side of the Marvel Cosmic Universe, which I love. I mean, we could see the Living Tribunal, which that would be awesome. We're going to see the past Celestials, which kind of like gets me going. We're going to see the Deviants, who are the enemies of these Eternals, which is, Thanos was a Deviant as well. So was his dad. So I wonder if they're going to go have some past Thanos as a kid. Who knows? So I'm just fascinated to see a property that I'm not too familiar with, seeing what they could do. And just the thought of seeing, like, if you know anything about the Living Tribunal, he basically is a giant head, a couple different faces, and he's like a giant cosmic entity, and he just judges a lot of things in the universe. So it's thoughts like that and just characters like that, they could fit in there. I mean, can you imagine if they do the One Above? Or I think the One Above is basically the Marvel's version of God, so he could be up there also. So it's just a lot of things they could throw in that cosmic universe that just gets me a little bit giddy. So can't wait for that.
Yeah, I can't wait either,
And Eternals will be coming out, I have the date right here, I'm sorry about that, Mike, November 6th, 2020, so look for that one. After that, Kevin Feige was out of that presentation. He goes on to the next one, which will be The Black Widow. Yep, the cast from The Black Widow came on stage. You know The Black Widow herself, Scarlett Johansson. They also introed a couple of different scenes. She's got a new costume too, Mike. It's an all-white costume, which is interesting. That's going to be coming out May 1st, 2020. A couple of the trailers came out here and there. I didn't really want a Black Widow movie, but, we're getting it. So, hey, why not? Girl power. What do you think?
I'm looking forward to a Black Widow movie. I wanted one years ago when she first came out. I mean, you have one of the first women of the Avengers, in the MCU, and you don't give her a movie. You let another character become the first female Marvel movie. I was kind of upset with that, but I'm glad to see it coming in. It looks like it's not just a white costume. She's also getting a black one. If you saw the poster they released today, there's a black costume that's on there as well. So
is there?
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at the poster, but I mean it's a costume. I'm sure she'll have a few wardrobe changes, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do. Hopefully I'm sure I'm just like talking to the wind right now, that they would do something to hint that she does somehow come back. I would love that, but I know it's probably it's all going to be primarily just a prequel.
From what I hear, I think this movie takes place after Civil War, if I read that correctly, but I could be wrong. I mean, that's also rumor innuendo. They haven't really said when it's going
to
take place.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's all going to take place before him, but I would love an end or the credits or something like that to see her waking up or something after Bruce attempted to bring her back. I think that would be nice. But again, that's just me, and I'm sure they've got a full full a boatload of characters right now that they don't want to bring. They probably don't want to bring her back just yet.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So that's coming out. It's gonna be interesting to see that Black Widow movie. There's actually gonna be several Black Widow movie widows in this movie. Rachel Weisz, I think we were talking about her a little while ago. She's gonna be in the movie. And Florence Pugh, if you don't know who Florence Pugh is, she played she played Paige in that wrestling movie, Fighting with My Family.
Very cool. Yes. I liked her. I really
You know, I liked her performance as well. So her being one of the Black Widows in that movie, I think there's another character she's going by as one of the Black Widows' enemies. I have to look that up. But
yeah, I wonder if it, maybe now that I'm thinking a bit more about it, I wonder if it'll be more what they did in Age of Ultron when Wanda, like, you know, was giving everybody visions. I wonder if we'll see like some of those.
We might
actually played out in like bigger instead of just the vision. So.
Well, to segue out of that, we're going to go into the Disney Plus series. And ooh. Yeah, some several stuff was basically rehashed, and some several stuff, new stuff is coming. So they basically introduced some artwork for three upcoming Disney Plus shows. One of them is Miss Marvel. The second one is going to be She-Hulk, which, yeah, I actually like the She-Hulk character, so that's going to be kind of cool. And the third one, which I think got the Marvel crowd really going nuts, is we're getting Moon Knight.
Yes.
Basically Marvel's version of the Batman. I mean, depending who you talk to, but Moon Knight is coming. No dates were announced. Basically, they had the title screens with the character's name on it. Very fancy. If you watch the Comic-Con, they did it with Blaze, so they did it with these three characters. No dates, but we're getting Miss Marvel, we're getting She-Hulk, and we're getting Moon Knight. So good stuff to look forward to. Disney Plus really wants to put Netflix out of business.
Yeah,
with all these new series.
They partnered up with Netflix's biggest rival, Hulu. So yeah, they're all gunning for it.
And ESPN too was part of that bundle there. So that's going to be a huge thing. So these three series, like I said, no specific dates, but they're coming. I'm looking forward to that Moon Knight one. That's the one that I think out of all three of them, I'm looking forward to
it. I mean, it'd be kind of cool. I mean, with Miss Marvel, you know, Kamala Khan, you know, Pakistani Muslim from Jersey City, you know, that kind of character I think would be really good to have. And I think that one, they definitely, if I remember right, Kevin made a comment that Miss Marvel will tie into the bigger MCU as well, which that'll be pretty cool. And then Mark Spector, something you and I were talking about the other day. Which route would he go? You know, is he going to be, taken over by Khonshu, or is he going to be having multiple personalities? I kind of think it would be good to just kind of get both of them, you know? Khonshu's making him have multiple personalities.
Khonshu basically gives him all those multiple personalities. I mean, why not? I mean, it's worked for a lot of comic book adaptations from Marvel before, so why not add something else to it? I mean, that's a series I can't wait to see. I wonder if they're going to make it gritty or more spectacular. As long as they don't introduce that one storyline with the rings, I'm fine. Because that was the dumbest thing Marvel ever did. Even Stan Lee, I think, doesn't like to talk about it. You know, it's just a weird... If you ever get a chance, kids, to read that storyline, just do it for just shits and giggles. It's awful. It made me hate Moon Knight so much. I think Mike just saw the comic book and threw it away when he saw the cover. It's a bad scene. Yeah. As long as they don't intro anything with the rings, I think we'll be just fine.
I mean, just looking at what, and I know we're just speaking sort of out of, you know, of the one thing that we have seen for Disney Plus right now, the grit and how great it looks. I mean, I know we're jumping ahead, but if you look at The Mandalorian, how amazing cinematography is on that, so I can't wait to see that done on these, you know, on a She-Hulk or on a Moon Knight. I can't wait to see that kind of quality here, and because I don't think the quality is going to change based on, because it's not Star Wars, it's Marvel. I think the quality will still be there, and like I said, that's the only one we've actually seen any footage on, so I know the quality is still good.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I guess the one we haven't talked too much about is She-Hulk.
I hope Mark comes in for that one.
I was just gonna say. I wonder if we'll see Mark Ruffalo in a couple episodes. You know, introducing his cousin.
He would have to, at least if they stick to the proper origin story, because it basically happened was that I think it was she got gunned down,
and they had to use Bruce's blood transfer. That's why she was basically more intelligent than Bruce was as the Hulk, because she had a lot of Bruce's, I guess the way they're going to do it now, Bruce is basically Mr. Fix-It Hulk, so she's going to be intelligent and she's going to be a lawyer. And
well, she should be, and I think that the humor, that would be a great show
that
for
alone.
Humor alone, just... I'm the She-Hulk. I'm here defending you. Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, I'm here defending you, and I can kick your ass, by the way, as well. So, well, that'll be interesting to see. Like I said, no dates on those three shows, but they are coming to Disney Plus as they try to win the streaming wars. Next thing we got up is going to be the Falcon and Winter Soldier. They showed a new poster. Basically, Bucky doesn't have his long, grungy hair or his beard anymore. He's got a clean-cut look. Sam Wilson is going to be Falcon. He's not going to be Cap.
Yep.
We thought he was going to be. That's he's not going to be the Captain America. I mean, that basically was just a poster and, you know, passing of a lineage on there. But apparently, from what I read, a little bit of storylines, the government is totally against Sam being the new Captain America. Okay. So they're basically introducing a character who's going to be played by Wyatt Russell. And if you don't know who Wyatt Russell is, he actually had one of my favorite episodes of Black Mirror. Check that out. He's going to be playing the U.S. agent, who apparently is going to be the government-appointed Captain America. And it's going to be a whole contention throughout the series with the U.S. agent and Zemo and Falcon and Winter Soldier. So we got... I never thought I would ever see U.S. agent in a series, but we're getting him.
Hey, it's interesting. I mean, I like the fact that they are sticking to the source material, because this did happen in, you know, in the comics when Sam was given the title as well. So it's kind of interesting. I was very impressed that they're actually bringing Sharon Carter back as well. Emily Van Camp.
Yep.
I was like,
yes,
really,
Emily's coming back.
I can't believe. I was like, that is so cool.
That is cool. Yeah, basically. And to hint at that, we have Kat Dennings. She's also returning to a Disney Plus series, but she'll be in WandaVision. Darcy's coming back, you know, meow meow and all that crap. So she is going to be interesting. She's going to be in WandaVision though. But
yeah, I was kind
of all
like,
these little. I kind of like the fact that all these little secondary characters that we saw on the big screen are going to be back again. It kind of ties in that continuity, and it's going to see her back. You know, she was cool as a comic, really. We didn't see her in Thor Ragnarok at all. Not even a mention. So it's good to have her back in there. So.
And I like the fact they're also going to be bringing Agent Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man.
Jimmy Woo's going to come back.
So I was like, because I love Randall Park. So I was like, man, that's I think that WandaVision was like this perfect amalgamy of, hey, you know, we like that character from that one, and we like that character from, let's put him on here.
He worked out. I liked him. He was one of the better characters in the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, and he was kind of made into kind of like the dickish type of agent. Yeah, yeah. So he was always making sure Scott was still on house arrest, and, you know, shenanigans ensued. Yeah. So Jimmy Woo, as Mike would say, and Kat Dennings, they're coming to Disney Plus series. And speaking of Disney Plus, we have another one.
Oh, hold on now. My question to you, I don't know if you're familiar with WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the music they were playing when they came out?
No, I didn't.
Because I've been wondering what they're going to do with WandaVision. Because there's like, just my mind's just going crazy. Because Vision, you know, spoilers, guys, biggest movie, you know, ever. If you haven't seen it yet, do it. But you know, Vision's dead. So my thought is, and there was a book that I read, actually from one of your favorite writers, Tom King.
Yes.
Last year came out, was just called Vision. And basically it was Vision after Wanda and him had broken up, had created his own family, and had used Wanda's brain pattern to make his wife. So in a way, she was sort of his wife, and he tries to live out a normal life, a very Leave It to Beaver 1950s style family. But they just don't know what's going on. So when I heard that music playing, and then I saw the people that were, you know, the second cast, I was like, wait a second. Are they going that route? And then today I saw the poster for WandaVision, and it's 1950s. Her dressed up like June Cleaver, him in like a sweater, buttoned-up shirt underneath. And I'm like, are they going to do this version? Because I think that would be amazing. Because I think it would lead into them, like Wanda doing, you know, everybody should know Wanda is a mutant, basically. But she has the ability to create reality. I wonder in her depression that she doesn't create a perfect reality, which would be the 1950s with Vision. And this causes Doctor Strange to come in because he does, you know, the next movie, Doctor Strange, is the multiverse.
Multiverse of Madness.
I wonder if that's the route they're going, because that's the only thing I could think of. And then, like I said, the music and then that poster was like, that's 50s style if I've ever heard and seen.
Or it could be a throw off.
Could be that too, yeah.
Could be a throw off. I mean, we're going to talk about a poster in a little while. That's definitely could be a throw off. Yeah. So,
if nobody's read that one, just check out The Vision. Like I said, it came out 2018. Tom King, great read, very interesting read.
I'll have to check that out. So, WandaVision coming to a streaming service near you. Another series that actually is going to be Captain Mike's favorite, he won't stop talking about it to me, so I'm going to stop talking about it so he can talk about it, is going to be the What If series. And they basically intro some of the first artwork. Peggy Carter is going to be in it in the first episode. She's going to be a What If. She's going to be What If Peggy Carter became Captain America. So they introed some of the artwork for that. And Kevin Feige also said, as the Disney MCU, the first half of the Infinity Saga was 23 movies. Guess what? The What If series will be 23 episodes.
Nice.
To keep that in coordination with the original MCU. And then we got Peggy as a Cap. So I know this is going to be the series you've been looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I can't wait for this. I guess basically what he said is what they're going to do is every movie, they're going to do an animated version of that and just change something. But they won't all be connected. Like, you know, the change that happened in maybe they will. He never really made a comment on that. But, you know, if the change for Peggy was here, would that still take place in the Iron Man one, which will be interesting to see what they do. Would it be, you know, what would they do next? Yeah, because if Iron Man is technically the next in, you know, timeline, you know, chronologically, the next movie, well, you know, so that would be the next episode. So I wonder what they would plan to do with him.
Maybe they have Howard be Iron Man this time.
Howard or
Pepper
takes it, or
Pepper. It could be a lot of. It'd be interesting.
That's why I'm so excited, because you don't know. We can sit here and speculate about, you know, the Falcon and Wanda, and because there's books and stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, What If books, but nothing on these movies for the last 18 years. You know, It's just so too many What Ifs, and that's why I'm so excited, because what are they going to do? And the fact that they also have the actors that play these characters returning to play their voice actors, I thought was the coolest part too.
That is a cool niche. I mean, my pitch for a What If series is going to be the Thor episode. I can't wait. Instead of, you know, Chris Hemsworth being worthy, what if Loki was worthy?
Yeah,
you know, they could do a lot of crazy stuff, and it's just that What If series is probably going to be interesting. But that's going to be your series. I know you're looking forward to that.
Yeah. So yeah, there'll definitely be a weekly review on that one, I think, coming up.
Oh, yes. After that, Feige introduced Loki. Tom Hiddleston wasn't there. He was there via video chat screen. Introduced that Kate Herron, she'll be directing 6 episodes. It's only going to be a 6-episode run. 6 hours of Loki is better than no hours of Loki, the way I look at it. So
better than 2 hours out of a movie.
Yes, sir. And Kevin Feige just reiterated that the series takes place right during Endgame, when Loki stole a Tesseract and his adventures through time. Didn't mention any other characters, but did show a little shot that looks like Loki is walking in some downtrodden New York City during the 70s. So
yeah, I think I've seen that still before. So.
That's the only thing they've shown on that front. So, you know, hey, there we go. Loki's coming to a theater near you or a streaming service near you. So, and that's pretty much all that Marvel had. Well, they had something with Tom Holland and Kevin Feige. I think we talked about it in the Emissions Board. That's the other thing. You say, hey, you know, we had our nice run. It was great. And move on from there. That basically, they introduced the same stuff that they had before. They did at Comic-Con, Phase 4 stuff, and just said that, like, a ton of stuff is in development. That's all they said. So that's the Marvel stuff from D23, Mike.
Awesome. I was like, I was glued to my TV on that one. when they were finally able to release the panel, so I was really happy to see that. And then I jumped into the one that I got to watch. Started off with Miss Kathleen Kennedy coming out to the stage for the Star Wars segment of the D23. Pretty much started off with her announcing Clone Wars is returning, thanks to the fans. She was saying it was a big, big push from the fans. They will be returning February 2020 for the final season. So hopefully, you know, at least we'll get some wrap up there, and see where they go. I know, because, I mean, there's only so much you can do during the Clone Wars, because, I mean, that movie's already over, so.
Yeah, it's yeah. Already gone and it's gone and done, you know.
I think probably what they'll use this for is to launch for future stories for some of the things that they've got coming down the pike.
Yeah, but how many episodes did they say? Is it going to be?
I think they said just a normal, I didn't see the amount of episodes. But I think it was just going to be their normal one that they had on the last season. I think it was like a 13 run.
So it's probably going to be, I know it's taking place after the last episode of the Clone Wars. So probably 10, maybe. I know it's coming out in February. So they're just going to finish that storyline and, you know, I guess go from there. Maybe they'll do another animated series after that. Who knows?
Well, I mean, I know they had talked about, I know this was an announced R&D 23, but the, not the Rebellion. The new Star Wars one that just came out, that kind of follows Poe, that they were talking, that one's going to wrap up this season, and that'll be it. So yeah, they're running out. They're not going to have much animated unless they're planning to start announcing some more. But hopefully the one thing I do want to see, the only thing I want to see is at the end of the very last episode of Clone Wars is to see them drift into battle right over Coruscant. Yes. I just want that complete, like... Yeah, that tie in, the perfect bow on there, just to see them, all getting in, you know, Obi-Wan and Anakin getting into their ships and flying, you know, to save the Emperor, or to save Palpatine over Coruscant.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's probably the way it's going to end. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that'd be the best way. I mean, these Star Wars, and I swear to God, if I hear anybody say it, I want to smack them. But Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel are doing a lot of the fans a lot of fan service here. So enjoy it, because we didn't have this.
No, they're definitely picking up that they're saying, hey, you want this? Mm-hmm. We're going to give you more. So it's hey.
And speaking of more, she was talking about Cassian Andor. She did bring out Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk, who's going to be returning for K2SO.
Mm.
So that he will be coming out. They have not announced a show title. Catherine was very touchy on that subject, so I don't know what's going on with there. But basically what it's going to be is the show is described as a spy TV series set before Rogue One, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so see what they have there. Alan suggested 2KSO, Fast to Furious. So I don't know if that's going to be a working title.
That'd be nice. That'd be interesting. I just want to see how like you just said, it's a prequel. So I want to see how K2SO and Diego Luna, like, he was actually an Imperial droid. Yeah. So and there's some reprogramming that goes on. So
yeah, I'd love to see that, to see maybe how they met. And then the one title or the one line, the one scene that I remember just before they went off onto their mission at the very end of the movie of Rogue One, was that scene of all those mercenaries and, you know, saying we did bad things for the Rebellion. Ooh. I want to know what those bad things were.
They hinted at a lot of stuff so that we could see that, you know, especially coming from the Rebellion side. They had to do what they had to do. I mean, I think we've always talked about that one scene in Rogue One, which I love, where Diego Luna basically shoots one of his guys. Yep.
I can't make it up the wall. Sorry.
I guess you're not going to make it up at all.
That was probably one of those moments that was the most instant understanding of a character. Like, there's those moments, you know, there's some certain characters you kind of have to wait through halfway through the movie to really figure out what kind of person they are. You figure out right off the bat what kind of guy Cassian is.
Yeah, and he hates the Jedis, too. I mean, I think one of the comics, it says that, like, his parents were separatists, I believe.
Yeah.
And they did not have a good relationship with the Jedi. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, so hopefully, like I said, hopefully it'll get a little grittier. I mean, I know it's Disney. I don't know how gritty they're going to allow things to get, but I hope gritty enough to capture that feeling of what I think would be a perfect one for Cassian Andor.
Agreed.
And I mean, from what I can tell, they're not afraid of violence. I can tell you that much in fight scenes. Next one on there that I caught, again, I might be going a little out of order, but the next one I caught was The Mandalorian. And I had seen this trailer before. I hadn't seen a good version of it, but this was my first time actually sitting down and like seeing a good copy. I mean, we're talking from the minds of Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni. This one debuts the day of the launch for Disney Plus. So I cannot wait. And some interesting things. I watched this a lot. Just, I mean, I was telling you, I got YouTube.
You watched it a lot.
I got YouTube on my TV right now. So I really watched it, paused it. I mean, I dissected some things here. But basically, guys, if you don't know, if you've been living under a rock and you've been avoiding anything Star Wars related because you're feeling a little tainted because of The Last Jedi, this is a series about bounty hunters set a few years after Return of the Jedi. The cast is going to be Pedro Pascal, anybody knows him from Game of Thrones and Kingsman, as the self-titled Mandalorian. You have Gina Carano, former MMA, and Angel Dust from Deadpool. I thought one of my favorite characters from Deadpool.
She's so hot, dude.
She plays she plays Cara Dunn, a former Rebel shock trooper. And then, of course, you have Carl Weathers. And again, if you don't know, he's from Rocky. Happy Gilmore, Predator. He is
Dutch.
Dutch, that's right.
Dutch, man, that's Dutch. It's coming back.
Do you think Chubbs is going to have his hand?
they should have a scene like that.
They should just have him without his, should do it without his hand.
Without his hand. Yeah, just, how did you lose your hand?
Long time ago.
Oh, I hope well, it's a kind of magic in the trailer that you didn't really see hand.
No, you didn't.
It is, so.
Then you have, he's playing Grief Cargo. Karga, I believe. Again, sorry, these are Star Wars names. I butcher them until I hear them. So,
well, Star Wars names are always a little bit weird.
So. He is playing basically the leader of a bounty hunter guild that Pedro Pascal's character has to work with. Then I thought this was the coolest one. I didn't see this anywhere else. Taika Waititi, from, of course, Thor Ragnarok, will be voicing the IG-11 character. I did not see him in this until I saw him come walking up on stage. I was like, oh, wait a second, what's he doing?
Well, he does great voice work too. I
mean, he does, yeah.
He's a great director, very underrated actor too. If you ever seen What We Do in Shadows, he's great in that show. Take a look. Please do yourself a favor and watch him. Or Swearwolves, if you ever know that mention, you would know what that movie is. Yeah. So, but yeah, he's great. He's Korg. I mean, and he's a great director. I mean, Thor Ragnarok is one of my favorite Marvel movies ever. I mean, very Jack Kirby, New Gods-y type of thing. So, yeah, man, I can't wait. I mean, him voicing an android makes sense.
Yeah, and then now you have Giancarlo Esposito. I probably butchered that one, too, from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, but as a Moff Gideon is who he's basically playing. And we kind of see all these characters showing up during the trailer. And, you know, the trailer breakdown, we see bloody, destroyed OG stormtrooper helmets, and I know the one of the scenes that got you like hooked instantly was seeing them sitting there on stakes. Like,
oh yeah, the pike stormtroopers helmets and pikes.
Yeah,
I think I texted you right away. Look at this.
Yeah. Then the series.
Give me that.
The series cuts then from different planets. Watch, I was this again. I'm watching it a lot. I'm like, man, there's about three different planets that we see. So it's a good thing that it's not, you know, stuck in one place. Now he's traveling. He's doing things. We also look to see what looks like Death Troopers. I don't know if those were Death Troopers because they look just like them from Rogue One. But again, we're 4 years after Return, so I don't know if the Death Troopers are still around.
Might be. They could be. They could be still around.
Yeah. Then we see the scene you were talking about with Carl Weathers. We see his character, Grief. Then the next one we see, this one's a throwback. This one actually, I'm not taking full credit on this one, but the characters look familiar. But there we see a Blorg, and for you as hardcore sweaties out there, we have not seen a Blorg since the Ewoks, the Battle of Endor, since 1985.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and it's been a while. Sitting on a Blorg is a Ugnaught, and if we haven't seen an Ugnaught either since Empire Strikes Back. They were the creatures that helped freeze Han Solo and Carbonite. Mm. So a couple of like really interesting throw-ins. We see the AT-STs, walkers, look kind of like them, a little different.
So a Twi'lek too.
Yeah, Twi'lek, yep. We also see IG-11, the assassin droid, actually going full abilities and shooting everything around, which I thought was
cool. You know what? I don't mean to cut you off, but no. I still say that's IG-88. I know it's IG-9, but
it's IG-11. That's if you look.
It's IG-11. If you look in the cast, you were wrong too.
It is. Yeah. Well, I was like, I kept saying it was the IG-9 or something. It's not. I knew it wasn't 88 because. I don't know if they're going to stick to what was done in the comic books, but IG-88's dead. So,
He's dead?
There are There are two versions of this. One is, if you remember in Empire Strikes Back, when Chewie goes down to find C-3PO, you see an IG unit that's been kind of obliterated. Hmm. He's all white. There is a theory that that is him because he was going after Han Solo just like Boba was. And there's a scene where he actually has he tails Boba when you see Han leaving after he getting off of the Star Destroyer and you see Boba coming after him in the trash. You see there's a scene that they were like in one of the comic books where you see IG-88 follow him. So there's a hint of that. And then there was another one that he was on the second Death Star when it blew up, that he was still working with them still.
Hmm.
So
like I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's but one of the, like I said, I knew I had heard months and months ago it wasn't 88. It was going to be an IG-11. So but again, just seeing what they can do. You know, I always wondered, you know, all he was this statue looking thing standing there with when Darth Vader was talking to him in Empire. I didn't know, you know, the eyeballs twisted in all certain different ways. So I thought that was cool. And of course, we see the scene where we see him and the Mandalorian walking into a room together. So they must be working as partners. So let's see where that goes. In the end, we see towards the end, we see Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that one. You know, director, would a great director, but he's been...
Oh, he is... You know, I don't mean to cut you off, Captain, but if you ever get a chance to not only watch his movies, but if you have to listen to the man talk.
Yeah.
He's got stories of things that he's done on set that are just wild.
Yeah.
Especially with a certain German actor, I can't name his name right now. They were on set, and apparently he's one of the better actors in German history, but him and, you know, Werner basically got the greatest performances out of this guy, but he was a dick. He was a real asshole and tough to get along with, and he would refuse to do things. You know, Werner would tell him, hey, I want you to do this. He would say no, and basically Werner Herzog said, hey, look, I'm going to bring a shotgun out. I'm going to shoot you, then I'm going to shoot me, and we're going to get this scene done. So he says some wild, wild stuff. Him, that scene alone in the trailer, to me, just like, okay, you know what? I was in from the beginning, yeah. But tonight, yeah, Werner Herzog in it. Come on.
Yeah, and he's the one that he's the only voice you hear, you know, saying bounty hunting is a complicated profession. Don't you agree? Now, it's interesting that if you look at him, I think he is a former Imperial officer because he's wearing a medal around his chest.
That is
the Imperial logo. So I'm kind of curious to see exactly what he is. And then probably one of the most iconic scenes on this, we see the Mandalorian taking down one of his bounties pretty brutally. Almost I thought he chopped him in half. But
yes.
Then, when again, watching it so many times, I realized the creature that is frozen in carbonite is the same creature that he took down. But if you look at that scene, there are three more carbonite chambers behind him.
Hmm.
So, yeah, this is a common thing. But watching it was so cool. A few things I noticed, like the coloring on the Mandalorian's armor was kind of interesting. Because if you look at it, it's not the one piece of armor. It's like, you know, the helmet's shinier, the body armor's red, like the left side of it's red, but then like the right side shoulder is like a weird green yellow
thing.
He's
got that amazing shotgun in the back of his pack, too. I mean, I thought...
Do you know where that shotgun's from?
No.
We've seen it one time. One time only.
Oh.
It's going to hurt. This is really going to hurt, folks. The rifle he carries was also carried by Boba Fett.
Was
but
it?
Not in anything we've seen in the big screen. It was actually the weapon he carried in an animated short called Faithful Wookiee.
Whoa.
Faithful Wookiee goes back to the dreaded Star Wars Holiday special.
Oh, well.
That's why I said this is going to hurt. So there is a direct reference and almost a canon, making it a canon of the Star Wars trilogy or the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, God.
Because it is the exact same weapon, the horseshoe front of it and everything, the butt of the gun, everything was like, that's why when I saw it, I was like, man, that fucking thing looks familiar. That's how I looked that one up. That was the Mandalorian, and again, I mean, a lot of people were cheering on that one.
I was cheering.
That was so great. Everybody's looking forward to it. There are a lot of people that I've heard that said that that was the only thing that they were excited about for Disney Plus. But I think that's changed after this, and it's definitely changed after the next one, because the next thing that has happened got the biggest crowd reaction of the weekend. Kathleen Kennedy's hanging out there on stage, and she introduces somebody that was not planned to be there, came on unannounced, was Mr. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, what was Ewan doing
out,
there?
Walked out to announce that they're doing a Obi-Wan's Kenobi series. And, everybody was happy on that one, and he made Kathleen ask him if he would be returning, and he said yes. And I have to tell you, Ewan was probably more excited than the fans out there, because
I think he was.
The grin on his face was
he
was
really has good. Been clamoring for years.
Yep, he's been ready for it
to do this. And out of all the spinoffs that we've had Solo, which I've grown to like as the years have gone along. You know, Last Jedi, me and you, we've always said that we've liked, even though the other sweaties can't stand it. But this is the one series that I think every Star Wars fan has been in agreement since, the ending of the prequels, and, you watch the Clone Wars, that we've wanted to see. We wanted to see that time that what happens when Obi-Wan drops baby Luke off. What does he do in the desert? I mean, is he just sitting there meditating? I mean, obviously he's getting stronger in the Force. I mean, you saw the, I believe Rebels, you see that great scene with Maul. So,
yeah.
I'm thinking that's going to...
We definitely talked about this one last week, but yeah, we're waiting for it. Definitely something we're waiting for.
And now we got it.
Yeah.
Now we've got it. And so it's...
Next year it'll start. There was no announcement other than that this is moving forward. And I'm going to hit somebody back of the head. I'm going to pull a Denozo on somebody if they say, oh, they're doing too much fan service. Bite me. All right?
Yeah, seriously. Just shut up. I mean, look, we have these legacy. I mean, the Obi-Wan is the one guy we wanted to see for the longest time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just stop.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Unsubscribe and walk away. Go back to your Netflix.
Go back to Netflix and go watch 20 Reasons Why. I mean, what is that? What is it? 13 Reasons?
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell. It's some kiddie show. Go watch that.
As soon as Netflix lost the Marvel shows, I unsubscribed. So.
Yeah.
And then we got an announcement, a Rise of the Skywalker, just basically a quick breakdown. Now, apparently from what I did read, everything, because there hasn't been anything officially released. Apparently, this was a mini trailer from everything I had read, that this will be released tomorrow, or if depending on when you're listening to this, this should be Monday, 8/26. We should already have it, and it's just going to be just a quick blurb. It's not a full trailer, and I don't think there's a few. I think it repeats a little bit like the from what I had read, because there's all this stuff I'm getting here, guys. It's coming from some really good sources, but there's no video out there. They really tightened the security on this one, I think. But apparently the trailer or the mini trailer starts off showing some prequel scenes, some scenes from the original. I think it starts off with Luke looking at the twin sons. A couple scenes from, like I said, the prequels. And then it jumps into now, and we see Poe, Finn, and Rey walking in a desert, party, kind of all together. Next one we see C-3PO being assembled again, but his lights, or his eyes, when they light up red. Then that was followed by Poe leading a number of battleships against a fleet of Star Destroyers, and from my understanding, when they say a fleet of Star Destroyers, they're saying the biggest fleet that we've probably ever seen in the Star Wars series.
Jesus.
Then that all culminates with Rey and Kylo fighting in what looks like a barge. with waves crashing against it. And but the most surprising and one is that we see Rey in a black cloak, force retrieving two red lightsabers that fold outward into one. So a la Darth Maul. And that's where it ends. So not, again, these are, you know, these are just real quick ones. I'm sure this is still teasing the living hell out of everybody, to, you know, to understand, you know, because they've shown one side that everybody thinks, you know, it's Kylo's going one way. Now we're seeing that Rey might be going to, you know, the dark side. I personally, I have my opinion. I think it's just a vision or a nightmare that maybe could be a Emperor's around here.
Definitely a misdirect. I mean, it sounds like a huge misdirect. I mean,
well, I'm pretty sure it happens. I just don't think it happens the way we're seeing it. I think it's really just a, like I said, I think it might be the Emperor or even Kylo, you know, giving her nightmares or something to trying to confuse her.
Yeah, especially with that Disney poster.
Yeah. Yeah, that Disney poster was kind of odd. I'm still not a fan, I know. I think
you know what? Yesterday, I think I told you I liked it. Yeah. And after seeing it, they actually had something on Instagram, on our Instagram page. Somebody posted it. I think they took it down. Where they actually took out the figures of Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, and they put Mickey Mouse on there. and then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it definitely has a Fantasia feel to it. I think really what it is the body positioning looks strange to me of Kylo. And then also when you look at what I assume is the Emperor in the background, looks very almost straight out of the animated series. Like, if you look at his eyes and his forehead, because that's pretty much all you see, it just doesn't look like the Emperor. It looks like an animated version of the Emperor. That's why, to me, I was like, that's not a, I don't know, I don't like that. Hopefully they'll put something else out. Maybe this is just a satisfy everybody for the D23 weekend.
Well, newsflash, that image of the Emperor is actually from a toy I read today.
Really?
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's not a new image. It's actually an image from a toy that it got from the packaging, and they just slapped it on the poster. So it actually it makes that poster even more suspect now.
Yeah.
Than it ever was.
What they did is just probably threw it together for D23, and then just this is a fan made, and it just like what happened with the Spider-Man news. A couple of fans got a hold of it and just share. This is official, and then you know. Everybody's talking about it, and then these two idiots in Florida are talking about it on their podcast. You know how it rolls.
Yeah, those damn idiots. What fools. What do they know there? What do they know about fucking stuff? Yeah. Jackasses.
So that is for me, unless I missed something. I thought I cracked it all.
I actually have Star Wars notes here also.
Yeah, that's why I got
I just want to make sure. I think you pretty much nailed everything.
Like I said, just in case I missed something, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, you pretty much got everything.
All right, perfect.
That's great. I guess the biggest thing I'll take away from D23 is that Mandalorian trailer. I mean, I could talk about it literally for like the next couple of hours. I mean, just everything about it. I mean, besides the actual trailer itself, if you notice, is the music. Very un-Star Wars, like very gritty, very dark. I mean, this is the series that like real Star Wars sweaties have always wanted. I mean, we get the light stuff, we get the kiddie stuff, but now we're going to get like the deep bounty hunting. Like, hey, what's going on besides the Jedi? Hey, we've seen things that happen from the top. I want to see what's stuff going on in the bottom, like the underworld. Well,
this is very, very spaghetti Western.
Yes.
And how it's filmed, even the scenes when you do actually see the Mandalorian, you see Pedro out there, it's desolate. There's loneliness. He there's nobody around him for miles, you know, on a lot of those scenes. So it very reminiscent of you know, like I was saying, you know, the spaghetti westerns, but you know, Clint Eastwood, the man with no name. I see that, and that's what I wanted.
Exactly. This is a series we've always wanted. I mean, this is
one of those
things
that drew me to, you know, to watching Firefly. It was that lone gunman out there, you know. But this is what we want. This is basically a true Western, a sci-fi Western is kind of what we're seeing. And I just can't wait to see who's who and what's what. You know, who do we trust? You know, in my heart of hearts, you know, I want to trust, you know, Carl Weathers, because you know he can't go wrong. It's Chubbs.
It's Chubbs, man. Come on,
we can't go wrong.
It's
here.
Dutch, man. You can't go wrong with Dutch. Can you imagine Dutch is a bad guy, dude?
You know, who knows? They might go. I mean, we're talking John Favreau and Dave Filoni here. And I mean, these guys love their source material, and that's the one thing I have high hopes is that these two guys are running this show. I know Filoni's doing the directing, John did most of the writing, but I think they kind of like tag team together. So hopefully we'll see where this goes.
It's going to be interesting,
and it's not a one off. I would love to see at least a minimum of two season run from these guys.
Yeah, they're definitely going to do a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just they have too many good things that are happening.
And it's an open world. This falls under that same thing I was talking about, my excitement for the What If in Marvel. This one, it's an open world. They don't have anything to follow. Yes, they have the rules of the universe that's been created by George Lucas, but that's it.
Yeah.
They don't have to connect with anybody. No, nobody has to be a freaking Skywalker or related to a Solo. It can just... These are people that are in the outskirts, the outer rims of the galaxy that are nowhere near what's going on. You know, they're like you said, or like I said, you know, this is 4 years after the Empire has fallen, but it doesn't. It looks like the Empire's still alive in the outskirts. You know, maybe these are the areas where the Empire is still staying strong. You know, they've given up their territory in the inner core, but now this is all we can hold on to. Are these, you know, these. You know, terrifying, you know, Western towns, basically. And you know, I would be really cool if they kind of led into, you know, that some of the answers that we missed out for this last trilogy. Maybe, you know, seeing, you know, that's where we see maybe some of the, where the Emperor's been hiding out, or.
It's definitely going to fill in a lot of the spots that, you know, so that I'm hoping, you know, a lot of the things that we, you know, what's been going on this side of the universe, what's been going on over here. And it's like all these series are basically going to fill in a lot of things that we've been thinking about in the background. It's like, what happened over here? What happened over here to this guy? Like, what happened to this part of the universe? Like, what's going on here? So that's why I think the Disney Plus thing, I mean, with the Marvel shows, with the Star Wars shows, they're just going to be able to fill in a lot of those, plug those holes in.
Yep.
And one of the big things that I was reading also, I think I forgot to mention during the Marvel, when I was breaking down Marvel news this week, is there's a plan to have, I guess, what they're calling these Marvel characters now from the original phases, legacy characters.
And right, yeah, I've heard that.
These legacy characters, I believe, you're going to see them in a lot of these Marvel streaming shows. Like, they're not going to be a major part of it, but it's almost like they're going to intro it. Like, if you ever watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the first couple episodes before Commander Sisko got in control, who was there? Was Captain Picard was there for a couple episodes to usher in the show. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to give you this space station to be in charge of, you know, to show me what you've got and the relationships like that. We've talked about, you know, Mark Ruffalo showing for the She-Hulk. He's a legacy character. He's going to show up. I mean, just a lot of those things they're going to be able to do. I'm not sure how Star Wars is going to do it. I think they should just stay far away from legacy characters. Where Marvel needs to just incorporate them, just, you know, because we basically grown up with these characters. And just basically to see, hey, you know what? This series is going to be pretty good. I'm putting my stamp of approval on it. It's She-Hulk, and then you're going to go. So I think that is one of the better things that I read about Marvel, is doing those legacy characters just like them. Except for Tony, because he's dead.
Yeah, right. Well, but I mean, the one thing I can definitely see, and that one of the questions that I had from last week was that these series, the Miss Marvel, the She-Hulk and the Moon Knight, they're going to stay in the MCU. It's those Hulu ones that they're going to do. Those are going to be on the outskirts. So I don't think that you and I were talking about that. You didn't think that they would connect. So hopefully they'll stay in their own little realm. But the but these will definitely be in there. Most of them probably don't. Other than Miss Marvel and Moon Knight and She-Hulk are the only ones that need introduction. You know, the other shows already have legacy characters ingrained in them. So.
Yeah, it'd just be nice to see them in there, you know, just say, hey, what's going on? This is
Bucky and Falcon, you don't need a legacy character to introduce, say anything there. Geezer Rogers showing
up. That's what I was going to think. Like, maybe, do you think old man Geezer Rogers shows up?
You guys got that Viagra up in the hand.
I don't know, for some reason, I could just see him, like, showing up, like, you know, Sam has a question, you know, like, hey man, he fought him before. Let's ask Cap, and he goes to his house and just say, hey, what did you do? When you fought Hydra this back then? Well, I did this. You know, he can give him like pointers here and there. I could see actually, you know, Chris showing up.
See Sam taking him out for a walk around the campus like they did when they were running and they met. You know, and put him in a little hover around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's riding around like the, those little buggies at Walmart. On your left.
So hopefully, yeah, I'm looking forward to it and seeing what they do. And again, like I said, we, you know, that Hulu stuff that we've got coming out too. They still haven't made an announcement on that. I know that's not really the MCU for Disney Plus, but it's they are connected. I mean, like you were saying earlier, they're trying to put, you know, Netflix out of business. You not only have Disney on this, you have Hulu on this. You're going to have NetGeo. You're going to have ESPN. I mean, this. I'm a Hulu fan, so I was looking through my Hulu channels. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this when I order Disney too, and ESPN. This is going to be awesome. I'll be happy, you know, with everything, and I'll probably just get the keep my DC streaming, and maybe if Warner Brothers finally gets their stuff together, I know they're working on their streaming service. Maybe, you know, see what that is. Hopefully Disney DC Plus is a or Disney. Yeah, did it again. Hopefully DC streaming is on, or DC Universe is on the WB package as well. So
yeah,
hopefully everything will work out.
Yeah, let's hope so. We need some good stuff from Warner Brothers. You know,
it's just, hey man, again, like I always say, man, we're living in a world I never thought would happen. I mean, you and I are sitting here talking about TV shows, and not just like, oh, hey, they're coming out with one TV show about Marvel. No. Or, hey, they're coming out with one Star Wars show.
No.
Which we've been dying for forever. I mean, when was it? The early 90s or late 80s where they were put in the that rumor was going around of them starting a Star Wars TV show?
Yeah. Just, like, 51. I think it was 13. Star Wars 13 they were talking about for years.
Yes. Yep.
And it just like, from what I heard, Lucas wrote like 2 years worth of scripts. It was supposed to come out, and just, I don't know. I mean,
here we are now. We finally are getting it, and so it's looking for more.
It's a great age we live in, pretty much.
And what I can't wait for is, I know they've only just, I mean, they just announced the one. Then you're gonna have Cassian behind that, you know, and hopefully we'll have more Star Wars shows coming up. So I can't wait.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have more Star Wars shows. Because that Mandalorian, I mean, if that's like a taste of what we're going to get, yeah, they're going to make more. You could just stamp that down.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. So do you have anything else you want to cover on today's
episode? I got one thing. It's actually from the Long Box. You know, it's just from the Long Box. If we could just cue up that music.
Sure.
Thanks.
Oh, of course.
Thank you.
Legends of the Long Box.
So basically, I've been reading this book. It's Swamp Thing, Roots of Terror, the deluxe edition. I think I've told you about this book probably a couple weeks ago, and I finally finished it. It's by Len Wein and Kelly Jones, Tom King, Jason Fabok, Brian Azzarello, Greg Capuno, and more. So a lot of great writers. I just finished it. And I got to say, it's probably one of the better stories I ever read. It's really, really good. I never thought that I would actually buy a Swamp Thing comic book, let alone read it as much as I did. I started reading it and I finished it, and now I want more. The horror element alone of the Swamp Thing, I mean, the series gets it so right that the book gets it right as well. It's just, it's so good. It's so good. Like, I can't, you know, Swamp Thing is becoming quickly one of my favorite characters. He really is. The way they've done things with him, the situations they put him in, just like and his overall humanity as well. I mean, he's just a deep, deep character. I mean, spoilers for one of the better issues they actually did in the series is that the big thing is you think Alec Holland is Swamp Thing, but you find out later on. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't watched the series or actually read the book, but let's just say that's not really the case. A lot of horror elements, a lot of just gross violence. So I definitely recommend Swamp Thing, The Roots of Terror. Check it out. Go to our local Acme or your comic book shop, wherever you're at. We go to Acme, which is on 434 and 7092 in Longwood. Check out Josh and the boys there. I haven't been there in weeks, but please say hello. But definitely check that one out. It's a great run, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Very cool. Yeah, I have been slacking in finishing, because it's the ones I've been working on are a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I did pick up the second issue for Superman Year One. I'm wanting to read that one because that did just come out. And then also, I did pick up the first issue. I read it. I don't want to say bad things about certain books, and I know it's just the first one that I've read on it was the Black Mask Year of the Villain.
Mm-hmm.
Not catching me just yet, but again, like I said, we always have the rule of five for us. So yeah, I'm going to give it the five. Good old Heroes Asylum, five try,
man. It's always the five try.
But it's, it really didn't catch me. It was kind of a little weird. But it's, definitely hinting at, a bigger event. This is going to be their big event, I think, leading up to the Halloween season. I know they always like to try to do it, not every year, but every couple of years, try to do one of these big villain crossovers and story arcs. So we'll give it a shot. But hopefully by next week, I'll be able to get the Superman Year One.
Yeah, I got to reload and some stuff as well. I just finished the Swamp Thing, like I said, and a couple of the runs have ended. And we're still waiting on Doomsday Clock, I believe, issue.
Yeah.
The last issue. Yeah, man. Is it the last issue?
I think it is.
No, because the last issue was 10, so we have two more left.
Oh, is there?
Okay. So we're waiting for 11 and then 12, and I got.
I don't know what they're doing with that. There's no clear cut schedule on that.
It just comes out when it comes out. I mean, they don't announce anything. I mean, so far I've liked it. I think the beginning was a little slow, but it's like I think we've talked about it in the long box before. It's going somewhere. It's Superman versus Dr. Manhattan. That's where it's all been leading to. You know it from the beginning. And actually, the story's been going on since, I believe, Rebirth. There was a Flash episode called called The Button. So it's been going on for a while. So hopefully we'll see the payoff pretty soon in that.
Yeah, they hinted at it for a while, and it just let us linger for a while while Rebirth got wrapped up. So yeah,
well, they're definitely letting us linger. It's been a long time.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com. You can hear all of our episodes, this episode, as well as the Midnight Movie Reviews. And hopefully we'll have a new Midnight Movie Review coming out here shortly. You can check us out at facebook.com and other places. What are those other places?
We're also on Twitter and on Instagram at Heroes Asylum and at The Heroes Asylum. Facebook, as always, and as always, every week I say, get to the asylum.
See you later, folks.
Bye.